From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
We're delighted that you have joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns will conclude a message entitled, The Nature and Actions of Faith. The text is chapter 4, verses 17 through 22, where the Apostle Paul presents Abraham as an example of the nature of justifying faith. The context speaks of Abraham's faith in God's promise of a son, in spite of his and Sarah's advanced ages. Verse 17 tells us that Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Here we see that the object of saving faith is God. Then Abraham believed that God could and would bring to reality that which did not yet exist, Isaac, the promised seed. Furthermore, in calling Abraham the father of many nations, Paul was proclaiming the truth that salvation is solely in Christ, the promised seed. Both the character of Abraham's faith as well as its basis are found in his simply taking God at his word, regardless of appearances to the contrary. Dr. Cairns will be with us shortly. First, please enjoy this devotional thought taken from Charles Haddon Spurgeon's collection called Morning and Evening.
Our text for today is found in Hosea chapter 3 and verse 1, The Love of the Lord. Believer, look back through all thine experience, and think of the way whereby the Lord thy God has led thee in the wilderness, and how he hath fed and clothed thee every day, how he hath borne with thine ill manners, how he hath put up with all thy murmurings, and all thy longings after the flesh pots of Egypt, how he has opened the rock to supply thee, and fed thee with manna that came down from heaven. Think of how his grace has been sufficient for thee in all thy troubles, how his blood has been a pardon to thee in all thy sins, how his rod and his staff have comforted thee. When thou hast thus looked back upon the love of the Lord, then let faith survey his love in the future. For remember that Christ's covenant and blood have something more in them than the past. He who has loved thee and pardoned thee shall never cease to love and pardon. He is Alpha, and he shall be Omega also. He is first, and he shall be last. Therefore, bethink thee, when thou shalt pass through the valley of the shadow of death, thou needest fear no evil, for he is with thee. When thou shalt stand in the cold floods of Jordan, thou needest not fear, for death cannot separate thee from his love. And when thou shalt come into the mysteries of eternity, thou needest not tremble. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, soul, is not thy love refreshed? Does not this make thee love Jesus? Doth not a flight through illimitable plains of the ether of love inflame thy heart, and compel thee to delight thyself in the Lord thy God? Surely, as we meditate on the love of the Lord, our hearts burn within us, and we long to love him more.
Loving kindness as
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We're delighted that you've tuned in today, and we're especially grateful for those of you who make this program a regular part of your day. We've been particularly encouraged by the response to the program content and the format. So if you have written to say that the Lord has blessed you, or to ask for some of the literature that we offer, then take our thanks for taking time to do so. And if you haven't yet done so, we would be delighted to hear from you. You may contact us by email, by telephone, or by regular postal mail. You may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. As you can see, it's easy to contact us. Also, if you enjoy the program, you might like to join us on our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget that word radio, ltbsradio.com. We hope to hear from you, and that you'll join us on our website this week.
What is the hope of the gospel? Christ is our hope. We have the hope, the expectation that shall not be cut off, that will never make us ashamed, as we will see when we get into chapter 5 of this epistle, that will never let us down. We have the hope of eternal glory. We know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. We know we're going home to glory. We know God loves us, and He'll love us forever. Christ died for us, and He'll keep us close to Him forever. He would be incomplete without us in heaven. We know that. That's our hope. But then you hit pain and suffering. The devil whispers, God doesn't love you, God hates you. Where's the grace of God now? If God's so good and kind, why all this? But against all human grounds for hope, we get our eyes on the hope, Jesus Christ. As I have often said, after Calvary, God needs to do nothing to convince us of His love. So, this enduring faith keeps believing, and it repudiates the arguments and the logic of unbelief. Verse 19. Now, those arguments to Abraham were obvious. Look at your body. It's dead. The Greek word that's is also used in Hebrews 11, verse 12. It's translated as good as dead. The devil was saying, look at your body, Abraham. You're as good as dead. Look at Sarah. She's as good as dead. That's the logic of unbelief. Abraham rejected it. And he says, in effect, I believe in the God who calls the things that are not as though they were. If God calls my body and Sarah's womb alive, I believe God. That's it. I believe God. And I refuse to believe that we're dead. We may be as good as dead. But I reject the logic of unbelief. And that's what faith does. It focuses on the promise. It refuses to doubt God's word because of the conventional notion of what is possible or probable. I was looking for a hymn. I don't think we have it in our book. I don't know how I ever overlooked it if we didn't, but anyway, looking for the verse, faith, mighty faith, the promise sees, and looks to God alone, laughs at impossibilities, and cries, it shall be done. This is enduring faith. And it's energizing faith. Verse 20 and verse 21. He staggered not. He was strong. Now when you think of this, it says first he was not weak in faith. That means he was not moved to unbelief by contrary circumstances. Then it says he staggered not in unbelief. So what's the difference? The word staggered not means that he didn't. It's a verb that has the idea of disputing with yourself, fighting with yourself, doubting. He didn't stagger in unbelief. What's the difference between that and not being weak? I think it's this. It said not being weak means outside circumstances didn't weaken his faith. But when he looked at the greatness of the promise was so big, so vast, so great, that the old devil would come and say, "Now, Abraham, come on. I mean, you? And something so majestically, wonderfully, eternally great, you really believe that's for you?" And Abraham said, "I believe it." He didn't stagger at the greatness of the promise. Now stop and think. Here's justifying faith. Where were you when Jesus found you? You were on the dunghill of sin. That's where you were. Where does he promise to put you? Among the princes of glory. What does Jesus promise concerning you? What is God's word in his dear Son? It is that you're redeemed by blood, you're sealed by the Holy Spirit, you're united to Jesus Christ, you're invested with all the perfect righteousness of Christ. God looks at you in Christ as being as worthy of heaven as Jesus Christ himself is. He promises that as he has set Christ beside him on his throne, you will sit with Christ in his throne. That's the promise. And the old devil comes and says, "What, you? You, of all people, who on earth are you ever to aspire to such majestic and glorious greatness?" Well, I'm nobody except the sinner Jesus came to save. And I'll not stagger because of the greatness of the promise. No, he was then strong in faith. This energetic faith, this strength of faith was seen in that he could give God praise, giving God the glory. And there's the mark of faith. Religion takes glory to man. Self-righteousness will tell God how good we are. Saving faith will lift up its voice and sing how great our God is. Gives him glory. "He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord." God forbid, says Paul, that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then the energy of this faith is seen in the persuasion of verse 21. This full assurance, this full conviction, this full confidence. And this assurance is rooted in a vision of the full and the free ability of our God to do what he wants, what he purposes, and what he promises. And then it becomes the assurance of our own good standing before him. This is saving faith. Now what's the ground of it? Why do we believe? This is where it all comes home. What's the warrant for me to believe this? Okay, God is the God of resurrection power. God calls things that are not as though they are. But Abraham, what right have you to believe it for you? How does it become personal? Well, Abraham believed because God spoke. Simple as that. Verse 20:21. What God spoke was a promise. And that's the ground in which Abraham exercised faith. And there can be no other ground. Now let me make this statement tonight, and I trust you will learn it in experience. Faith does not stand in moods or feelings or dreams or omens or circumstances. Faith does not calculate possibilities or probabilities. God speaks, and faith, without understanding how God does it, simply says, God's word is good enough for me. Faith responds by accepting and trusting what he says. In other words, the only ground of faith is the word of God. The only warrant of faith is the promise of God. And the only assurance of faith is that the unchangeable promise of God and the unconquerable power of God unite to assure us that he will fulfill all his will. Now we come back to verse 22. Therefore it was imputed. This is the kind of faith that justifies. How can I sum it all up? This faith has an intellectual component. It accepts true, but therefore justifying faith is a momentary decision. And it's not. You can't encapsulate. You can't imprison justifying faith in a moment of past time. If you ever exercise saving faith in Christ, let me tell you, that same faith is yours today. For this is a living knowledge of God and his saving truth, which it accepts in such a way as to cast the soul entirely upon God's mercy and Christ's merit, and to govern every aspect of life in the light of the gospel. That is Abraham's faith. That's the faith that justifies. Let me give you five phrases that will bring it all together. Justifying faith is a conscious response to God's revelation of grace. It's a conscious response of believing. It's a complete reliance on God's promise in Christ. It's a constant relation to God and the gospel that regulates every part of your life. It's a confident rest in the Lord and his gospel promise in life and in death. And it's a convincing realization that God's promise and God's performance perfectly coincide, that what he has promised, he always performs. As Solomon said, 1 Kings 8, verse 56, there hath not failed one word of all the good promise of God. You think of the souls who have died and gone to heaven. You not think that's what they're saying? When I think of the times I perplexed my puny little brain about the circumstances of life, and I wondered why this was happening and the other thing, why I wasn't seeing what the promise fulfilled as I thought I should see it fulfilled, now I get to glory and I see the finished product. I realize there hasn't failed one word. That's the assurance of faith. I hope tonight that you understand something personally. This is not theory. This is truth. There's a world of difference. My faith hath found a resting place. not in device nor creed. I trust the ever-living one. His wounds, His blood for me shall plead. That's the voice of faith. Is that your testimony? I trust it is. Because that's the only faith that will save the soul. May God grant you tonight to know what it is to say, my faith, as surely as Abraham's, is fixed in God's Christ.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.